When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
At the club.
Oh, no. So bad. Oh, no.
Were you listening to the dude's story?
Own part emojis.
Well, hello there.
What the f*** are you talking about?
What would you say you do here?
Feeling
Yeah, well, no, I don't know. He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs, and I'm going to shove a burrito in my ass.
He's a bitch.
Hey, it's me, Petey the Peppy Penis.
Speaking of feats of strength,
happy penis.
We left out.
Yeah, what do we? What do we?
Five layer burrito guy,
dude. Yeah, if you were to believe the Kansas State psychopath that said,
oh God,
he would take a frozen or he would take a Taco Bell beefy five layer burrito. Yeah, he just elected to freeze it because he thought that would be easier.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, you heard the Rop drop.
I'm gonna shove a burrito in my ass.
That was a whole story arc in the college football
season.
Was he
anti that?
What?
It got a lot of laughter out of me. I cried laughing at that guy.
Rob's stance, which is correct, is that there is no point in you volunteering to do something like that if you're not getting something on the other side if it doesn't happen. Like, he didn't lose a bet. It's like this. It's like the Florida State guy who wouldn't eat the dog crap out of the Solo Cup or whatever. But like, the point is, no one said, "Hey, I'll bet you that this happens, and if you're wrong, you have to do it." It's just people come out and declare, "Hey, I'll do this heinous thing if X happens." Why? No one's making you do that, and that was Rob's whole point. I think that's fair.
Well, and he's not wrong. However, I got a lot of Twitter enjoyment out of it because the guy played along. Like, he spent a week being
that was
like,
Super
here's
Bowl,
the
man.
Build up. Here's the other part that's hilarious is it's a burner account. You have no idea. It's like St. Bill Snyder or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea who this guy is.
Well,
and then he said his wife found his Twitter account.
That was the best part.
So
is
funny.
He was hyping the whole thing up. He said he'd been in contact with people. He was like teasing when it was going to actually happen. And then he basically was like, the wife found out. Not sure how, but this isn't great.
He tweeted out like different angles. So like, you knew he wasn't faking. It was a very, very funny, like, kudos to you for using Twitter. I don't want to say the correct way, but understanding the bit and just, I wouldn't do it.
Hey, speaking of understanding the bit, I saw something, this is apropos of nothing. I saw something during the college football playoff in the Ohio State-Tennessee game. There was an Ohio State fan that just had a sweatshirt in gray and scarlet that just said, F Dolly Parton. And I'm like, I love the idea of like taking aim at your opponent's most beloved like, I don't even know if she's an alum. I know they just celebrate her. But I'm like, would that be fun to do for like every single one of your opponents next time you play the Beavs? It's like, F NVIDIA CDO Jensen Huang, you know, or like you're playing like the Huskies and you're like F the Nordstrom family or whatever. I don't know if that's a good bit or not, but I saw that dude do it. I'm like, wow, I wouldn't have gone there with Dolly, but I respect the commitment to like, let's say the Ducks in two games are playing the Texas Longhorns, roll up with an F Fat Matthew McConaughey shirt.
That'd be great. I think the perfect one though would be if you're playing Loyola of Chicago, Chicago Loyola.
Sister Jean.
F Sister Jean. That would be hilarious. My favorite one was when it was Sister Jean versus Sarah Jean Underwood. That was the old Beaver comeback, if I remember right. Wasn't that Oregon State?
That was on the heels of the year that Loyola made, I think, their Final Four or Elite Eight run, and then the Beavs made their Elite Eight run, beating Sister Jean and company,
yeah, and
right?
And that was the game, if I remember right. Maybe I'm just too online, but that game was dubbed
"Go Beavers." How about that?
Sarah Jean Underwood versus Sister Jean Underwood, and it made me laugh, and also research Sarah Jean Underwood.
Yeah, and I do believe that's probably before little Willie was grown into a man, and that basically you were probably unaware of the Girls of the Pac-10 editions of Playboys.
I didn't know that
back
you guys
then.
Used to do stuff.
Yeah,
like that. Yes, sir. Crazy.
Yeah, so that was like,
I can't believe that was allowed.
I want to say that issue came out when I was in college, and despite the fact we were Ducks, boy, everybody really liked Oregon State for a little while.
Schools,
because of Sarah Jean.
Did she go there?
Yeah. So the way that it works is that the Playboy back in the day, I don't know if they still do this or anything like it, is they would pick a conference every year and they get one girl to show her up tops from each school in the conference. And so there was like a Ducks person, there was a UCLA, a USC, but like it was the Sarah Jean show, make no mistake. It was the Pac-10 or Pac-, was it the Pac-10 then? I think it was the Pac-10.
I think it was still the Pac-10.
It was the Pac-10's,
I did not
turn,
ever remember a Pac-12,
but she was like the number one star of that.
She is, she's from Oregon. I've gone in here. Too short.
Too short for you?
Yeah, 5'3".
You're finding flaws with Sarah Jean, are you?
She is 40.
Yeah.
And?
And I think she's still hot, right?
I don't know. This picture is from 13 years ago that's on her Wikipedia account.
Is Will anti-cougar?
He can't be.
I went to Central. We're the Wildcats. So that's kind of the same.
Happens.
She went to Scappoose. Good for. Oh, she was Oregon State and Portland State. So, should the Vikings also claim Sarah Jean?
I mean, I think you should if you can.
I didn't know that she. Did she date Derek Anderson? I'm going through her Wikipedia.
I don't know.
Right,
the Moose from Scappoose?
Yeah, who would have known? I didn't. I did not realize that was like a thing. Like Playboy would just come in and be like, want you to run the show. Now, I do have a buddy growing up who his claim to fame, and it's maybe the saddest claim to fame of all time.
Oh, no.
Holly Madison. His claim is that she was his babysitter. Now, Holly is from Astoria, and he is originally from Astoria.
Okay. It's her birthday today. Did you know that?
Happy birthday, Holly.
Hold on, I need to pump the brakes here. It's
how
not
do you
like
know that. Yeah, hold on. Wait a minute. We didn't ask that.
I was doing.
Why do you know that?
I was doing award-winning show research for In the News, and unlike, so I do something a tiny bit different than Isaac and Suk, and I always Wikipedia the date, and I look for significant birthdays and historical events. And so when I was ripping through the birthdays today, the three that I saw that stood out were Jim Harbaugh, Eddie Vedder, and her, Holly Madison. So I would not have known that before 10 a.m. this morning or whatever. I was looking at Wikipedia.
You almost got away with that one too, where I didn't even like really think about it. Then I was like, wait a minute, you shouldn't know that.
Oh, but he should. We all should.
She won. Back to Sarah Jean, because I just keep bouncing around.
Sure.
She won Playmate of the Year in 2017.
Yeah, and she blew up after that, man.
She won a Mini Cooper. I didn't realize she was a big deal.
That's it.
Wonder if she still has it.
Probably not.
Yeah, no,
she was
way
on the Girls Next Door show. They had a show?
Yeah, well, like the, was that the one that Holly Madison was on?
Yeah, I mean, my guess is she like had an appearance or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't think she was like a a character? Because it was like Holly and Kendra.
Yeah,
and,
Kendra Wilkinson, and I can't remember the third one. That was it was the Bunnies Next Door, right?
Was I think it was called the girls next door.
Oh, yeah. The Girls Next Door.
And then I think there was a spinoff that was maybe Bunnies.
Well, they sure looked like they were happy as heck, and I know we've heard afterwards that they were not apparently happy. But
No.
Did you not? Did you not question what was going on in that house before you, you know, like we've all heard about the parties, but I guess, you know, yeah, Hugh Hefner, I believe that he's going to treat all those women just perfectly when I go and sign that contract.
No, there's no objectification whatsoever.
You've got starring Hugh Hefner, Holly Madison.
Good for her.
Bridget.
Oh, yeah, Bridget. McQuad. That was the
I
other
don't
one.
Even remember that.
Kendra Wilkinson. And then the last year was Crystal Harris. And then Christina and Carissa Shannon. I'm assuming they are twins.
I do recall that one of his last girlfriends was twins.
So gross.
Well, tis the season to beat your dad up. Did you see this? North of the border in Saskatchewan. This might have made your Twitter timeline today.
I should have seen that. I'll tell you right now. You better watch out, Tom. You better be nice to me.
Senior hockey league, an adult hockey league in Saskatchewan.
Oh.
Pits father versus son in the matchup. Dad, 47. Son, 27. Get into an all-out Donnybrook. And, like, it looks like one of those... The video of the fight picks up in the middle, so you don't know how it started of like, hey, you want to go? Hey, you want to go? And there's a lot of weird hockey heads who are just like, yeah, I'll just fight because it's fun and like that'll get my team fired up and I don't actually hate that guy. And then we'll like shake hands after and like everything will be good. But dad and son are freaking wailing on each other here. Are you seeing the video now?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm sorry. I'm still also a little bit trapped on this. One of the other girls was from,
my God,
Tillamook. Dude, they're all from Oregon.
Yes, Oregon has hots. We know this.
The Hugh pipeline.
I'm distracted. I've gone down a rabbit hole. I apologize.
Oregon hot rabbit hole. Will Ortner just discovered this today in 2024.
Well, this is ancient lore.
That's
2009,
true.
I'm in fourth grade.
To be fair, this is like finding an old box of Playboys
that
like,
is
in the garage or something like
this
that.
This was like from your daddy's time. It's like, these were the hotties from this year.
All I'm saying is that this show was in 2005. In 2005,
hey,
Will
it's your
Ortner
window, Daddy.
Is like in kindergarten. I'm kindergarten or first grade. There's no way I was going to know these things.
Of course not. And I would not have expected you to.
The fight is hilarious. It's a back and forth brawl.
And like they're getting good shots in.
It's also perfect hockey. I bet you that this was a plan pregame.
You think so?
I bet you that these two looked at each other and were like, let's fight. It would be funny.
Would you ever fight your dad? Like
he doesn't want any part
like for fun like that?
He would,
I guess.
No, he gave up on any feats of strength in middle school. at about eighth grade, we became a similar size, and that's when that was. If I remember the story correctly, there was a freezing, like one of the ice storms, and so we went out and we were in our shoes, and so we played hockey. So it was my uncle and my brother versus. So it would have been my brother and my dad versus my uncle and me. And my dad kind of got a nice little check-in trying to let me know what's up. And so I waited until his back was turned, and I got him pretty good. And if he didn't have quick hands, he would have went through a bumper.
Ooh,
I got him pretty good.
Yeah.
And at that moment, that's when the fighting and the wrestling, that was going to be no more.
Mm-hmm.
There's a size difference. Look, it's not fair. It's not fair for me to fight anyone in my family. There's weight classes for a reason.
Fair enough. Yeah, my dad wouldn't want this smoke these days either. He's got two artificial knees. He's had a back surgery, a neck surgery. He's doing fine, but he's no match for yours truly, even if I am a little out of fighting weight.
Are you waiting for the day that your kid comes up to you and is like, bring it on?
Dude... My kid's in the mode right now where his feelings are so big that he doesn't know what to do with them, and if he doesn't get what he wants, he'll just start swinging on me. So
that's awesome.
I mean,
that stage. It's fun.
It's and it's like I know he doesn't actually mean to, but I'll be like, no, that's the last episode of Bluey, and he'll like run into the kitchen and like kick me. I'm like, dude, we can't do that.
we're settling our issues with our fists.
Yeah, next time a boss man Jeff gives me a no, I'm just gonna go kick him in the shin, see what happens. Hey,
I don't
Merry
like that.
Christmas, bitch.
Yeah. All right, well, we've plowed enough ground here in the first part of the club hour. We'll try to get Will's mind away from Playboy model Sergio Underwood.
They all went to Portland State, dude. Ollie Madison did, too. They're all Vikings.
We can get into your favorite Christmas traditions, or we can get into the best 100 dishes from around the world. Kind of like that. Maybe we'll do that next. Coming up, Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
I'm gonna get some butt, I'm gonna drive big truck on the roads, road. I'm gonna get some ass, I'm gonna die, some kick little ass. Rock, flat, and eagle.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Double Sun Power!
Welcome back to the Club Hour. Will still down the Sarah Jean rabbit hole, as it were.
She was on Attack of the Show. I also didn't know that Olivia Munn was on that.
Another hot.
Yeah, Olivia Munn's pretty great. I like her.
Ended up with a funny guy, John Mulaney, which, not surprising after she had to deal with Aaron Rodgers' BS for a couple years.
You know what? Speaking of funny guys, ended up with the hots. Colin Jost, the host of Saturday Night Live, who's married to Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, Mr. Scarlett Johansson,
so,
yes.
I saw over the weekend, and I wasn't really even aware that they did this, and I have not watched the full sketch, but apparently...
It's good.
Every year on Weekend Update before Christmas, Michael Che and Colin Jost do a joke exchange where write each other's jokes, and then they essentially end up, by virtue of having to read what's written for them, roasting themselves. It's really funny, and it included some shots at Colin about Scarlett Johansson this year. Go check it out if you're interested.
She was there, which makes it even funnier.
Yeah, they do the cutaway to her, like her reaction to what some of the things her husband is saying. It's pretty good.
She drops an S-bomb on there, and she drops a couple, and they don't catch the first one, but it's a pretty good bit. They've been doing it for a couple of years now. They basically do it like twice a year, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
They write the worst and most offensive jokes, and Michael Che does a really good job of just absolutely putting Jost in the blender every single
time. Yeah, it seems like what Michael does to Colin is more unfair than what Colin does to Michael. Not unfair, but like, it's all fair. It's all above board, but like, it's... Colin always gets the worst of it.
Also, this year, I think Colin got a pretty good one. Now, like, to be fair, Che, like, knew Scarlett was going to be there. So he clearly made some jokes designed to get after Scarlett.
Yeah.
Colin has a pretty good joke in there that Che has to read, and I'd say it might have been a draw.
What are your guys' Christmas traditions, and specifically your Christmas traditions surrounding food? Are there certain things that you guys do every Christmas Eve, every Christmas morning, every Christmas, you know, every family gathering? Like my wife's family, every year the week before Christmas, they would go to their family friend's house. They would make like just a ton of authentic tamales, and they'd all have them on Christmas Eve together. Mm. Do you guys do anything like that? Like any annual traditions around meals, food, stuff like that?
My mom usually makes like some sort of fudge or something like that.
Okay, nice.
There's like a peanut butter or chocolate fudge. That's a problem. Leads to a lot of bloating and big fat Will because it's pretty good. Usually we go over to like aunt and uncle's house. There's some sort of like lasagna type deal. Christmas morning, maybe you're getting some prime rib or something.
I got a buddy who every year does like Christmas ravioli. Their family is Italian, so they make a bunch of homemade ravioli.
There
they usually
go.
Do like a meat one and a cheese one, a couple different sauces. Everybody loads up the plate.
Yeah.
Our family for a really long time on Christmas Eve, going back to like my childhood, it's the one time a year we would get cracked crab. It was the kind of the exciting do something really different from what we usually do type deal. And it's really simple. We just get a bunch of cracked and cleaned crabs from whether it's the fish market or even just one of your grocery stores that you can order ahead of time. Everybody cracks it. We get like fresh warm baguettes. We get the melted butter and then just and then pour it over a little Caesar salad on the side. It's the simplest Christmas Eve dinner. We do it every year, and we are doing it tomorrow.
That's good.
Very
stuff.
Excited for it.
That's good stuff.
And then additionally, we would do something. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's called a strata, but it's basically like a breakfast casserole. And it's like egg and milk mixed together. And then you cube up like sourdough bread and you throw it in there with some meats, whether sausage, bacon, ham, whatever. And you actually let the bread cubes soak up that milk and egg mixture overnight. And then you put it in the oven the next morning. And it comes out like this just perfect breakfast casserole. My wife's making one of those for Christmas morning. So very excited about that.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I don't really have any food traditions at my house. It's just like turkey on Thanksgiving, ham on Christmas.
Okay. Yeah. We've done some ham, but like I feel like we're now rotating in and out of like other beef options and pasta options, but
yeah.
I love a Christmas ham though.
We do go, I think we're doing this again this year. We've done it a couple years in a row now, McCormick and Schmick's for Christmas Day dinner.
Nice.
Oh my goodness, a couple of oysters just making me feel all fancy right in the middle of winter.
Yep.
It's also nice to let somebody else do the cooking for you.
That's the other thing. Well. It's fantastic to just be like, you know what, we're not going to have to clean a kitchen. We're not going to have to go out and get all the ingredients. Like, we're not going to have to spend half our day putting this together. I love that.
I had a family friend that they used to go to like Skamania Lodge.
Oh yeah.
Like that was a big thing that they would do. They'd jet up there and then they'd get like the buffet or whatever. They'd go hang out, go swim in the pool or go do the hot tub type deal, hang out, watch movies, play some board games, stuff like that. It's everyone has their own holiday tradition, I think, and no one really breaks them. I've been informed this year. I wasn't asked. I've been informed that I will be staying at the childhood house for at least one day.
That's right. You told me that it started out as an ask, and then it's like, no, you need to do this or something. Kind of.
Well,
like that.
Look, I get it. Everyone under the same roof for at least one night. Everyone will be there. We'll have a good time. I think some of it, too, is so that I will also take care of my dog. Like, I get it. He's been kind of pawned off on you. I will be there to take care of him, and I will make sure that he's properly trained.
Well, let's get to some of the best food dishes from around the world. Some that might surprise you, others that won't. There's a list of 100, and I want to start to dive into that. We'll do it next. Listen to Primetime, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy has a SportsCenter update. Welcome back to Primetime. Thank you for being along with us. The final live Primetime before Christmas. We will be off tomorrow and Christmas Day. National programming there and on the 26th as well. Primetime, we'll be back, as you know it, with Isaac on Friday. Isaac and Souk will be back in on Monday. But as we soldier forth here, finishing up this last half hour here, I saw an interesting list today, and it's an interesting list because I am a fat kid at heart. I might just still be a fat kid. But the Taste Atlas Awards are out, and it's interesting to me because it has a ton of data behind it. It is something that is based on 367,000 ratings of 11,000 dishes worldwide. And based on all those votes and all those dishes, they came up with the best 100 dishes in the world. And so I'm interested to see how many of these you find appealing. Now, I'm not going to go through all 100, obviously.
This is the best dishes? Sorry.
Dishes. So, yeah, not full cuisines.
Okay.
And I can send you the link as well. But basically, this Taste Atlas, they do the 100 best dishes. They do also do the 100 best cuisines, the best food regions, the best food cities, the best restaurants, and the best cookbooks. So if you're looking for food-related award end-of-the-year content, this is probably your place. But like way down on the list at like 97 was Kansas City Barbecue. I'm like, love that. I mean, granted, I might have it higher, but let's...
I'd have it higher.
Where should we start here? Top 50? Top 20? What do you guys want
to
do here?
Now I want to rail against what they're doing to my Kansas City Barbecue.
I know.
It's so good. I remember we got to play a game down there, and one of our boosters bought it all out, like bought out a restaurant for Kansas City Barbecue. And then,
nice.
So we basically had like an hour of all you can eat, and he was going to pick up the bill. It was like the burnt ends were fantastic. The brisket, the ribs, like everything. And then you've got 50 fat football players that are just going to town on the barbecue. It was fantastic. To this day, it's still probably the best non like homemade meal that I've had. I think
there is something that is really perfect about barbecue when it's done right, because to do barbecue right, it takes so much time and patience, and it takes more than most people have.
Oh, right.
And it takes someone usually perfecting a process and a recipe. No one's getting barbecue perfect their first time, and no one's getting it done quickly ever. So if it's good, the person has worked on the recipe and they have been patient and waited all day for your ass, possibly starting, you know, briskets at 2 a.m. or what have you. I used to be a bit of a meat smoker myself, and I still have the Traeger. I can almost never use it anymore because I never have the time to commit 8 hours to a pork shoulder or 12 hours to a brisket. It's just to be monitoring as well. I could throw something in that up there, but it's not exactly set it and forget it. So I really appreciate good barbecue, mostly because it's near impossible to do at home, and even a lot of restaurants don't do it well because of the difficulty. So I'm with you there. Good barbecue can be absolutely great.
They have Texas style barbecue at 96. Disagree.
Oh, do they? Let's
they
see.
They do. Disagree. Kansas City barbecue should be above Texas barbecue.
And the Kansas City barbecue is the sweeter kind, right?
I believe so.
And that's where I would rank the top at the barbecue, like, order now, of...
So, yeah, I believe that Kansas City is more, like, is more barbecue sauce. Like, you get more sauce base, sweeter. I think Texas, you get more of like the vinegar, and
I think it's hotter, right?
I thought that was North Carolina was the vinegar, but maybe.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
I think it's a hot. I think Texas is a little more hot.
And then Memphis is known mostly for their rubs, their dry rubs.
Right.
And stuff
right.
Like that.
Yeah. Which, and here's the deal with the Texas. So, like, to be fair, right now when you look at the rankings, it's all Austin. Where I had my Texas style barbecue was more of San Antonio and like Lubbock area, because those are the places that I actually played football in, and I haven't had a chance to like just go and visit Texas. So I will be completely fair to Texas in that aspect, but having been to Kansas City, having had Kansas City barbecue, it is too low to be in the 90s.
Start at number 25 on this list, and that is Tonkatsu Ramen. I am a big fan of Japanese ramen. I'm probably more of a miso man, but Tonkatsu is just fine. It's a pork bone broth, and
savory.
The first big trip my wife and I ever took when we were dating was a trip to Japan, because we got an email about round-trip flights from San Francisco to Tokyo for $400, and we're like, I guess we should go. We don't even know if we're going to like each other still in 6 months, but we should go ahead and try it. And so we did. It worked. We had ramen every single day that we were there. It wasn't always tonkatsu, but fresh ramen done the right way. Often it takes a couple days to build a really good ramen broth. The noodles can be finicky. Good ramen is great, but even bad ramen is great. Top ramen is great. I'm here for all of it.
See, I'm not a huge... Ramen falls into, like, I'm cool with it and I will eat it, but I'm actually anti-soup. And I've been long on my anti-soup, and chili doesn't count, but anti-soup, anti-stews. So I don't know that that would be the best avenue for me. That being said, if I am going to have anything like that, I'm going to go with, like, I've had top ramen. I will eat top ramen. Top ramen is fine. So I would assume that a better version of ramen would be good.
Number 24 is a dish we're probably all familiar with, tagliatelle al ragu bolognese. So basically just tagliatelle noodles with a bolognese sauce. Delightful. How could you go wrong there? Then we get into, are you not a bolognese guy? Not
no, I am.
Straightforward here.
I am. I'm just like looking at it and it made me laugh because it's like, you just said a bunch of words that I'm like, I have no idea what he's talking about. And then I scrolled up and I was like, it's just meat sauce with like the other, it's all spaghetti and noodles to me. It's just a different version of spaghetti and noodles.
Then we get into something that I have never heard of called pempek or empek or pekpek. But this is pempek. It is an Indonesian dish. It's an Indonesian fish cake made with ground fish meat and tapioca. The actual origin of the dish is from Palembang, Indonesia. And over time, it was recognized as a praiseworthy snack, an Indonesian delicacy. These round or rectangle cakes, usually steamed, and right before serving, they're fried in a vegetable oil and cut into bite-sized pieces. Sliced cucumbers, noodles, or rice are typical accompaniments. I don't know. I think I could probably do without the pekpek or pempek.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say no on that one.
I'm not a seafood cake guy, like at all. Not just pekpek, but like crab cakes or salmon cake. Not a fan.
Then we go to the famous German goose dish, Weihnachtsgans. I think that's how you say it.
I think you nailed that.
A traditional German roasted goose that is prepared for Christmas. Typically filled with onions, prunes, chestnuts, apples, and or dates. Also often stuffed with a dough or meat filling. Seasoned with salt, pepper, thyme, marjoram in most cases. Once prepared, the goose is served with simple staples such as dumplings, spetzel, red cabbage, and gravy. Sounds all right.
I don't know that I've ever had duck.
Duck is good.
I like duck.
Does it taste like chicken?
A little greasier, but yeah.
Richer, fattier, generally.
Yes, fattier, definitely.
And like darker, right? Generally, it's like a darker.
It's like
a darker
all
meat.
Dark meat. Yeah.
But so I've never had goose before. My cousin's husband, he's one of those guys that like thinks something sounds like a cool idea, and he's like, I could do that. So like two Christmases ago, he's like, people in like books and you know like the a Christmas here like talk about like a Christmas goose. Like I would just really like to do a Christmas goose. He went out of his way to find where he could get like a full whole cleaned goose to make for Christmas. He said it was miserable. It said it was tough. It was greasy. It was so I don't know. I'm a little bit hesitant about the bird type, but the preparation doesn't sound bad.
Sure, I'm probably not gonna try it.
21, we have Cordero Asado. That's a Spanish lamb dish. This sounds pretty good.
Lamb's all right. Time to mess up lamb.
I typically like beef more than I like lamb, and it's not that I'm anti-lamb. I think I just prefer the beef flavor, but the authentic Cordero Asado is basically when they take the suckling lamb or a younger lamb and they fillet it and they roast the whole thing. So, pretty
so you're
authentic.
Eating baby lamb.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess lambs are just baby sheep. So, baby? I don't know.
Ew, you're eating a baby's baby.
Well, I guess that could go for anything you eat. Any animal, that is. Another thing that I'm not going to be able to pronounce, Chakahuka. And the Algerian dish, a stew.
Not that kind of hookah.
No. Is this shakshuka? Like shakshuka? Maybe it's just a different spelling
of shakshuka.
You know what?
I'm not going to be able to correct your pronunciations on this. I mispronounce things that are in English all the time. I'm not going to be able to help you.
Well, there's a Middle Eastern tomato-y like stew dish called shakshuka. And this is very close and also a stew, but it's from Algeria. I don't know, man. It's got
looks fine.
Lamb, tomato, chickpeas, onion, cumin, caraway. It looks fine.
What this exercise is teaching me is that, unfortunately, I might be the bad American. Where I'm looking at some of these and I'm like,
you might be going too far with a bad American. You just haven't tried a lot of these things. That's fine.
Well, I haven't either. I might be the ugly American because there's a couple of these.
Where are my chicken nuggies?
Where is my pizza? Just give me beef. Give me beef.
Well, I have good news for you because there's beef coming on this list. We will do a little bit more beef and we'll finish up the top 10. We need to at least get you to the top dishes here, and it will also include a Sam Elliott drop. That's coming up as we wrap up the club here on 1080 The Fan.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
You know, I always thought I could be a great salesman.
Well, believe me, I could talk anybody into anything, except women into sex. That's the only thing I can't do.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
Getting plenty of feedback here on the fan text line. Fan text line saying Texas barbecue is brisket and hot links with spicier sauce. Vinegar sauce is Western North Carolina, where Eastern North Carolina uses mustard sauces.
Oh, weird.
I have had some mustard barbecue sauces, which I tend to enjoy.
I do agree, but there's too many sauces out there that just mix ketchup and mustard together. Not a fan of that.
Then this text saying, Will is weird. Give me an all-soup restaurant, and I'm all about it. A nice curried lentil, followed by a chicken tortilla, then a nice pozole. My wife loves a nice pozole. My wife makes pozole probably once a month.
I'll tell you right now, I hope that listener gets all the soup that they could want and more. I don't want any of that soup. Eat it all, please. The more for you.
Well, let's try to wrap up this list in a relatively short order so we can make it off the show on time. But coming in at number, we're gonna skip a couple here. You do have the Japanese eel dish unadon, which is basically just a bigger piece of the scorched eel and the unagi sauce that goes on top of your sushi with over the rice. It's pretty perfect.
Unagi. I'm a huge fan of that one.
You get the Puerto Rican dish pernil, which is like a
looks good.
Puerto Rican spiced pork shoulder. I have had pernil. It's delicious. And then we get into Sam Elliott territory.
Chateaubriand.
That's right. The French beef dish made from the softest piece of beef tenderloin and a true aristocrat of French cuisine. The Chateaubriand, carefully seasoned and grilled, cut into slices, served with either a Chateaubriand or Bernaise sauce and potatoes. But the name Chateaubriand may also refer to the above-mentioned piece of meat. Beef tenderloin trimmed on both sides, so it is just the central, juiciest part of the middle. Weighs between 350 and 500 grams. The recipe generally serves two.
Yum.
Yeah, sign me up for some of that.
Eat that up.
Moving right along, let's get into the top 10. An Ethiopian stir fry called Tibbs. Never heard of it, and there is really no other information on it. Not even a recipe. Don't know. We get the lamb dish, kebabi. It looks like a kebab. Sure. It looks like a lamb kebab. And lamb kebabs are fine, but maybe not my favorite.
Yeah. If there's like some extra yummy vegetables or seasoning on there, sure.
Indonesian meat soup rawon. It has beef.
It's got soup.
Spices. Looks pretty good.
Can't do soup.
Yeah. This is interesting. This anti-soup stance of yours. The Turkish veal dish, kukertan kebabi, maybe.
That looks like I'd give it a shot.
It looks delicious.
I would give that a shot.
Veal, of course, the
baby
unexercised baby cows. And so, all nice and tender. And you're thinking venison, perhaps.
Thank you.
Oh, venison is good.
Then you get up into the top six. You've got asado from Argentina, which is basically just freaking grilled steak. Nothing wrong with that.
That's good stuff.
Get into a pandan curry from Thailand. Hard to go wrong with that.
Yeah.
The Algerian noodle dish recta. I've never heard of it. It looks kind of delicious. It looks kind of like almost like a stew over a yakisoba kind of a deal.
Must say no.
But then you get in the top three. You get your hold on. I think I might even have one of these drops here. No, it's not that one. It's not. Where is the Brazilian beef?
Sizzling.
Well,
beef.
That's not it.
Beef fajitas.
But is the picanha, the Brazilian cut of beef? It's
so
got the
good.
Big fat cap on there.
Yep.
Looks so
freaking
good.
Delicious. Number two, a worldwide favorite, the pizza napoletana, Naples style pizza. Most common, the margherita, which is just the sweet sauce, the mozzarella, the fresh basil. You can even throw a little ricotta dollop on there if you like. And then coming in number one, the top dish.
Shocked me.
Is called lechona, which is the Colombian pork dish. Now, I've had lechon, which I think is
the male version.
Well, I don't know. I've had there's a restaurant I went to called lechon that was Peruvian. So I don't know if this is of the same. Colombia and Peru, I do know, are not the same. But here's what it tells us about lechona. Typically reserved for large gatherings and special occasions due to its time-consuming preparation. It's popular during holidays like Christmas, New Year's, and festivals. The star ingredient is a whole pig, the insides of which completely taken out and then filled with other marinated meats and split peas. Usually the pig weighs about 100 kilos, meaning it can feed 800 to 900 people.
Wow.
The meat is marinated in a mixture of green onions, garlic, and spices, namely cumin, black pepper, and salt. Sometimes paprika will be included. The stuffed pig cooked and roasted in a clay oven for about 12 hours, served on a black ceramic plate topped with a leaf of cachaco alongside meat. Insulso and corn arepas are traditionally served.
I'll tell you what, I'm a little bit taken aback, not because it doesn't sound good. It does sound good.
Surprise is number one.
I would have thought pizza would be number one. It's well known. Everybody likes it. Every culture seems to like it.
And you can do
possibly.
It in 70,000 different ways.
There's enough. Like, you can make a pizza for everyone. And the best part about pizza, it's hard to mess up.
Yeah, that's true.
Even I, who have tried multiple times to like make my own dough and make my own like little garbage bastardized version of pizza, it still kind of tastes okay. I'm a little bit surprised it wasn't number one.
Little mini pizzas on English muffins, perfect go-to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Just quick and easy, and it tastes amazing.
Sometimes we'll try to do it a little bit healthier. I'll take a wheat pita, and I'll do a little bit of sauce, and then I'll slice up a chicken or turkey sausage and throw it on there with a little bit of shredded mozzarella or something,
yeah.
And suddenly it's not quite as bad as it could have been.
No, aside from those cookies that I stole, I have not borrowed. I haven't eaten since 8 this morning, so this is a problem.
Dang. Well, I think you're probably going to get some more peanut butter in your future, then.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to go steal some more cookies on my way out, and then I'm going to go home and eat some Greek yogurt.
So I don't know if the Colombians here stuffed the ballot box or anything to get the lechona on here, but it does sound like there's a lot of time that goes into it, and I bet if you were putting that much work into a 100-kilogram pig, it's probably going to turn out okay.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like something you just go home and whip up, though. I'm going through. There's some good dishes that are being left low. There are some real strength of schedule issues, I think,
Catalonian
on this
beef
list.
Ragu, Mongolian
there's,
beef.
There's some good Italian dishes. There's some good Indonesian dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dan noodles?
There's a lot to like in the bottom 50. There's what this is really telling us is we need to travel more of the world and eat more of its food.
Number 69, boiled Maine lobster.
Ooh, can't okay.
Confirm.
That's only 69? Stop it. That's top 20. Has to be.
I want to thank you two guys for hanging with me so many days last week and this week. It's been a lot of fun delivering you all, listeners, SOB editions of Primetime. Thank you for the special Festivus joiner here. Appreciate all of your grievances and feats of strength. It's been fun talking to y'all. We will be off the air as a station for the next 3 days, but Primetime will be back 3 to 7 on Friday when Isaac is back in town. You've been listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan. Good night.
Ships of space.